Yeah.
It is now... Okay. It is now time for...
the feature band of the month!
Access granted.
All right.
Nice. Olga's still on, like, on point with everything.
Oh, she's totes on point.
Yeah.
Maybe that's the problem. Cranking that, I need to be cranking this.
Now...
Maybe?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Now, so we just opened the vault.
We did. Now, why did we open the vault?
Because sitting across that voice that you've heard, you've probably heard that voice a number of times. I would say at least four
different times.
Probably.
On the Monoway Mono show. And that is the voice of none other than the lead guitarist.
And namesake.
Of the Gary Kane Band.
Mr. Gary Kane.
That's right.
Good to be here, guys.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming.
And I'm honored that this has brought you out of a semi-retirement. That's amazing.
Yeah. Well, if there's one thing that can do it, it's being able to sit across the table from your sweet visage.
Oh, yes. It's kind of like how, you know, in the Arctic, the ice is melting and there's various microbes and things that have been waiting in the ice that are going to be released. I kind of feel like I'm global warming and I'm releasing you back
up.
Just to capture the scale of the situation here.
Right, and just when I backed you up on purchasing a new dog.
That's
recently.
True. Yeah, you did.
I backed you up on that, and I get described as a microbe. I'm feeling good.
Of course, I did use a metaphor of climate change to describe myself. Scourge
that is true.
Time,
so.
Yeah. The most
the
destructive
very thing
force.
That will kill all life on Earth.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, fair enough. Fair trade.
I've taken us both down at this point.
All right, so you've got your CD here.
That's right.
That's not even released yet.
That's
so
right.
The release date.
Unless you get owner, you can pre-order.
You can pre-order this online, yes. And it is called Twangadelic Blues of Funk.
That's the title. It looked like you had to read that off.
I just speak very slowly.
Wait, now what is it called?
As soon as you show me, I will find out. Yeah. Oh, it's the first time I've seen it, actually. Yeah. No, it's Twangadelic Blues of Funk. But if I say it too quickly, I could have a stroke.
You could lose people along the way.
That's true. So we're having a CD release party May 13th, which is next Saturday at Cork Hall in downtown Kitchener.
And that is right next to McCabe's, correct?
It is.
Connected to? Yes.
It is, yeah. You actually go in through McCabe's, and then you egress into into Cork Hall.
You veer off into Cork Hall.
That's right.
Now, I've seen the Gary Kane Band play once before at Cork Hall.
That's right.
But it was not for a CD release party.
No, this is a special occasion. This is a big deal.
I'm very much looking forward to it myself. I did, even though I haven't paid for them, I did vouch for two tickets.
Yes, which was always appreciated. I'll pay you
just
if I come.
Just 50
but, yeah.
tickets.
Turn away paying customers at the door so that I might show up. It's always appreciated.
With 49 of my closest friends. Anyways, go ahead.
All right. So you've put out a bunch of music in the past, but on Bandcamp and in the form of EPs and things like that.
That's right, yeah.
Why is it the time now put out a full album?
The world needs me, I think, at this point. It's I saw what was happening with Donald Trump.
I was just
going to
say.
It's like, I went 5 minutes before making a Donald Trump reference here? I guess that's probably, I should, pat myself on the back for the restraint. Actually, the other stuff I've done before, the EP I did, was all instrumental stuff, and it was kind of just done just as a complete solo effort. I did all the drums, bass, everything. So this time I actually went in with a band and wrote some tunes. So 8 of them have lyrics. There's 2 instrumentals on there.
Nice.
And I figured we got to do a full-length CD to kind of do this, kind of like our coming out party. And Adam's laughing already. Yeah. I got to be careful what I say around you guys here. So yeah, it's already gotten a few good reviews out there. People are starting to review it. It's got a little bit of airplay. I was thinking this might be the world debut, but it's actually...
But someone's beat us to the punch.
It's already been played in the UK and Australia.
Wow!
Yeah. So this might
be... Well done, my friend.
This will be, I think, maybe the Ontario debut, though.
Okay. Well, that's something.
It's true.
Something to hang our hats on here. And so you mentioned the band that you've recorded this with, and that being Tom Nagy on bass.
That's right.
Did I say that right?
You did, yeah.
It's like, okay. And then Donnie McDougal on the drums.
That's right, yeah.
Nice. Cool. And what was that? So being that you work, I know that you play with these guys frequently, but what was it like actually working on songs, recording them together with these guys?
It was good. I mean, Donnie is a super pro in the studio, so I was amazed. Like, he went in and he took like maybe 2 or 3 takes for songs, and they had them mailed. Like, you just run right through.
Nice.
And then, so when you're recording, you basically, the important thing is to get the drum track mm-hmm. nailed first. So Tom and I were kind of just there to serve Donnie. You know, we were just there to support him through his many tantrums and, you know, tearful rampages that he had. And, you know. So he was really efficient, did a great job on it. And then Tom and I just kind of went back and perfected it.
Took forever.
Exactly. I find that just relentless and vicious criticism is the best way to encourage mm-hmm. a good performance out of people. So I kind of just
sometimes and I get that from your on stage performance when you when you actually take a bullwhip off of your belt and crack it at.
That's impressive. If you can carry a bullwhip on your belt, then you're either extremely tall or
looped up.
Oh, I see. Okay,
like all Indiana Jones style.
Yeah. Right. Okay. Yeah. That sounds good. Yeah.
Try to keep up.
I do whip the band. That's something I do. I warn them that when I hire a band, I say, you will be whipped.
And you will enjoy it.
That's my promise to you. So, no, there was no whipping. No drummers were hurt in the recording of this album. But it was a lot of fun. It's a long time coming, so I'm glad that we finally got it done.
Awesome. Yeah. Well, we're very happy for you. As big Gary Kane fans between the two of us, both as a person and musically speaking, we're very happy that you are releasing this album.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's now, fun.
We were looking at it before the segment started, and I haven't had a chance to look into the credits or whatever, but the graphic for the front of it, how did that come about with the... For people who are listening and haven't seen it, you can go to GaryKaneBand.com.
Don't go to Gary Kane Band. Because
or
Gary Kane Bane.
Gary Kane is an enemy of mine.
He's actually your doppelganger.
Yeah, I don't want to get into it, but it was just not good. A lot of bad blood.
And you can check out the album cover there, but can you describe what went into the creation and the individual kind of people involved on the cards there?
Yes, as well. Actually, it comes from the skulls that are on there are kind of like I think it's like a Mexican.
Yeah, Day of the Dead.
Day of the Dead. Mm. Yeah, that's what it is.
Which was actually 2 days ago.
Was it?
Is it? Okay.
Yeah, Cinco de Mayo
is the Day of the Dead? Okay.
Well, I didn't know that either.
There you go.
Maybe I'm talking out of my ass. I'm spewing facts.
The phone lines are going to light up with angry Mexicans now. For like the fifth week in a row for different reasons. I was going to say
not unlike Donald Trump's office.
Yeah, that's true. And there's reference number 2. We're on pace.
Boom.
I spent a lot of time down in Texas in the last couple of years because my wife's living there. Mm-hmm. And so I spent a lot of time down there. And that's something that they seem to have a lot of these skulls and these Day of the Dead design stuff. And so because I have a real strong Texas influence in my music.
I could see it on your head.
Yeah, that's right. I'm wearing the Longhorns hat. Yeah, this is the...
And a Rolling Rock shirt. Seriously, it looked like... Did you just get back?
No, I didn't. I've been back for a little while, but I just it's a very impromptu wardrobe here today.
Makes a radio wardrobe.
That's right. Yeah, I'm dressed for radio.
Exactly. Just like we have faces for radio.
That's right. Yeah.
Ba-dum-ts.
Theater of the mind.
I'm going to trademark that joke. Now, I've got a very serious question for you.
But what did we get into? That was...
Oh, okay,
but then so the cards and the...
The design, yeah. So then
I don't know. I just made that assumption.
Yeah, so I guess... Well, that was where the design kind of came from. And then the whole playing card aspect, I thought, just showing... Because we're a trio, and that's a big part of our sound, too, is that... what I love playing with a trio is that there's not a lot of you to fill up space, so everybody's got a real important role. So a lot of responsibility you have to fill up. But it means you can also improvise and change things on the fly and do things live, which we like to do, so...
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, going back to your band members and your live performance, when I've seen you live, I always focus on you and just thought that you had some people, just playing, filling out the sound.
Schmoes, he wants to say.
In the background.
Schmoes.
But I looked these guys up on your GaryKaneBand.com.
Nice.
And these guys have got quite the background to them. You've got it all laid out there. And
they got some street cred.
Yeah.
They're heavy players for sure, yeah. Well, actually, the interesting thing about Donnie in particular is the drummer. I used to go and see him play at a place called The Edge on Highland Road in Kitchener. When I was like 16, I used to sneak in underage, and me and my best friend at the time used to order beer. Literally, it was like, what would you like to order? And we'd be like, beer.
Can I have a beer, please?
Yes. The fake mustache. My name is Mr. McGillicuddy, and I would like a beer. You know, a really bad 16-year-old kid. But they served us anyway. Hopefully the statute of limitations is up for on that bar. But there's a SWAT raid happening as we speak, probably. But anyway, so he actually ended up teaching my friend who I played drums with. And as it turns out, he has taught drums to like two or three other drummers that I've played a lot with. So when I finally ended up playing with him, it was like, you know, it was so familiar because I realized, oh, you've been the one that's been teaching half the drummers I've played with. So it was a real natural.
And they've only got a thimble full of the talent that you poured into them.
They're losers. Shells of human beings. And I'd like to give their full names and home addresses right now, if I could. So yeah, and Tom and I have been playing together for quite a while. So he's actually the one who said when we were looking for a drummer that, hey, we should try Don McDougal. And I thought, Don McDougal? That'd be awesome. Because, of course, like I said, underage drinking always generates some fond memories.
Yeah, it's like right next together, to the sense of smell. It's the one most closely linked to the memory.
Of underage drinking?
Yes. There's underage drinking, and then right below that, a sense of smell is attached to your memory.
Yeah, yeah, I've heard that. Science has proven that.
Mm-hmm. Time and time again.
I don't know why they keep checking.
I don't.
But it's true.
Yeah. Because people don't want to admit it, Gary. That's why.
That's why we're here. Mm-hmm. The tough truths coming out tonight.
Knowledge being dropped.
So when you go into recording on the Gary Kane Band album, how much input do they have into the songs as well?
Nothing.
Zero. I tell them what to wear, what to eat, what to think.
For the performances as well. Nice.
Exactly. No, I wrote all the songs, so I did all the writing for it. But they definitely had like creative contributions to it because, I mean, Don's coming up with the drum beats and Tom's coming up with some of the bass lines and stuff. So it's collaborative from that point of view. Like, I kind of say, here's what I'm looking for. This is the kind of thing. But I'm not going to be a better judge of drum beats than Don is. I'm not going to be a better judge of bass lines than Tom is. So, yeah. And a lot of stuff has kind of evolved over our live show. Like, we've monkeyed with stuff a little bit. Improvising and changing things over the course of many gigs, and that kind of ends up on the album too.
Cool. Now, when you're saying you've wrote a lot of this, so I'm excited to hear it because I mainly heard your old stuff, which is a lot of the instrumental that you said.
Yeah, yeah.
And when you're writing it, do you just think, I'm going to just do the fastest guitar stuff that I... Like, it's unbelievable. We established earlier that you were the fourth best player in the world, I think, on an earlier podcast. Mm-hmm. I don't know. The proof will have to be in the podcast.
The proof will be in the podcast.
But I think it was the fourth best in the world. And so do you just go all out? Is that, like, how can I...
Yeah,
just
kind of.
Shred this next I bit of the song.
And then how do I add lyrics?
Yeah. Well, it's funny because that's what I was so used to doing instrumental stuff. And the reason I did instrumental stuff is because I injured my voice years ago and I couldn't sing for a while. So I was like, I still want to kind of make music, so I'll just do instrumentals. But I don't.
How did you injure? Sorry to interrupt, but how did you injure your voice? I'm just curious.
Well, I was.
If it's personal, then just make something up.
Exactly. I made some movies I'm not proud of. So, no, I had a gig doing in a cover band in Dubai years ago, which probably talked to you about before. But we were playing six nights a week, four sets a night, like
holy
just
geez.
Crazy. So it was really long, and I hadn't had any vocal lessons or training. I just kind of got thrown into it. And about two and a half months into the gig, all of a sudden my throat just went. Like it was just, I could barely speak for the rest of the time I was there, which was like another month.
Oh, wow.
And then when I came back, I had to go to, like, I had to go to the vocal clinic in London, and they shove a camera down your throat and all this stuff. And as it turns out, I was just a muscle malfunction thing or something going on with the muscles in my throat. So I had to take kind of rehab voice lessons and stuff. But for a while, I literally.
Did you have to play a didgeridoo?
No, I chose to do that. So yeah, after I came back from that, I kind of had a hiatus from doing any singing and stuff. But for, to answer your question, I mean, I don't intentionally say I'm going to make the fastest riff I can. I just really do like to play fast. Like, it's really fun. It is fun to play fast. So, unfortunately, what I find is I end up writing songs that are very challenging for me to play. So, when I go out to play them live, it's kind of like, sometimes I think, oh, why did I create it this way?
So, Saturday could be dicey.
Yeah, exactly. It'd be like a high wire act for sure. So, but yeah, I mean, I like to go just balls out when I play. It's a lot of fun. So, I know a lot of players, like, you go and hear them play and they don't make any mistakes and they kind of play it safe. But my favorite players have always been people that just, like, just go balls out, flat out, and as a result they'll make some mistakes, but they do really, really cool things. So I'd rather take risks and kind of fly without a net and see what happens. So.
Well, for what it's worth, seeing you play live is quite a treat, I have to say.
Thank you.
And a lot of people that have come with me say the same thing, that it's quite a treat to hear and watch you play.
Cool, yeah. Well, that's what it's all about. I mean, playing live is so much fun. I love it. It's just like the most fun I can have, I think. But or seeing somebody else that play, like playing live, if somebody's just really, really going for it, that's what I like to see.
So, and that's why people like to watch you play.
Yeah, because
other people enjoy seeing that as well.
Yeah. I mean, when we go out to play, like, we go all out, so we'll play as hard as we can. We don't leave nothing less, so...
Why don't we take a sample? Do you want to take a sample of Twangadelic Bluesafunk?
Let's do that. I
Did
thought
I,
I heard
that
you
correctly?
Say that the single was "I Thought I Heard You Say."
So I see what you did there, which would also be a good name for another.
Oh,
single.
Oh man, he's the king of the segue.
That's track was a track three, I think, or
correct? Yeah, you're right.
I know the
well
album.
Done.
Unless
what's
that's track, the
before I got here.
What's track six called, Gary?
Twangstra.
Yes.
Oh, booyah!
A favorite of the shows.
Actually, I feel like
Twangstrut's been around for a while.
Yeah,
that's like my oldest song, actually. Yeah, so that's a song I wrote. I actually had when I kind of discovered Danny Gatton, who's my favorite kind of like country picking, banjo picking type guy. When I heard that, I started just running different things on the guitar and ended up writing that song. And I've had it since I was probably 16 or or maybe not quite that long, but yeah, it's been around for ages. So finally, we recorded it. And that's why in that one we really monkey around with it. So in the bridge we do like a disco feel in one bridge, and we do a reggae feel in the next. And
nice.
So yeah, it's a bit of a Frankenstein of a tune there. But.
Cool. Well, so should we? Why don't we then? We'll start off with "Thought I Heard You Say," and then why don't we go into "Twang Strut"?
Let's do it
for
sure.
a little bit of a sample here. All right, here we go. I'll let you go. You do this.
It's the Ontario premiere, by the way. So.
The Ontario premiere of Gary Kane Band right here on CKMS Radio Waterloo.
102.7. We'll be right back. And woo! We're back.
I don't know. Someone needs 13.
Someone needs to calculate the notes per minute in that.
Yes.
Well, somebody actually did do the math on that once. I think they were thinking how many notes it was, but I forget what the total was. But we did have once that if you guess the number of notes, you win a jar full of jelly beans.
Which is normally the other way around, isn't it? That's a nice spin on a classic.
It is.
A new take on a classic.
Reinvention, if you will.
Wow. Is there going to be any guesswork at the show on Saturday?
I hope not on my part, but you're free to run whatever games you like amongst yourselves.
Nice. I'll have to think about that. Now, I was interrupted once before because I had interrupted you.
Yeah.
But I did have a serious question for you.
Okay.
And this comes from... this question doesn't come from me. It comes from a fan and who knew I was interviewing you and specifically asked me to ask you this question.
The answer is boxer briefs.
I don't see how that applies.
Okay, no, that wasn't the question. Okay.
Why do you hate the sport of golf so much?
Well, Sean, I think probably I can appreciate the drinking that goes on during the golf.
Mm-hmm.
I think I would rather just do the drinking and not have to walk across grass.
Now, what if you had a cart?
Well, that's a game changer.
Oh.
And now you're appealing to my love of drinking and my laziness. So you're kind of... Now you're starting to win me over a little bit.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Good
you know
to
what?
Know.
I'm sure golf isn't as bad as I maybe think it is, but I just think... I can think of a lot of things I'd rather do.
Than golf.
Yeah.
Fair
the
enough.
The amount of time it would take to do it. I'm probably really
like, imagine how many notes you could fit into the time that it would take you to play a round of
that's
golf.
Right. That's right.
Wow. Somebody should do that math.
Yeah.
DJ Steele.
Yeah, that's right.
That math.
I remember going around doing golf with you guys, and you would get me in trouble.
I wouldn't get you in trouble. I'd yell at you.
Yeah, that's right. Well, I figured that was
trouble. Did you
trouble.
Say doing golf?
Well, or playing a golf match.
No, that's pretty much what he did.
I'm not familiar with the vernacular, but I don't know if they call it doing
golf. So then the next time we did golf, all I did was, which is quite fun, is drive the cart and pick up people and drive them around, which is quite
fun. Against
their
will at times.
Yeah, that's right.
Whether they needed a ride or not.
I'm picking you up anyways because I got a cart.
That's right.
And it's fully powered.
Yeah.
Nice.
So, yeah.
All right. So back to the album here.
Where was this album recorded? Was it in the locally?
Yeah,
or?
It was in Kitchener, a place Will Mirror's got a studio called the Sound Distillery.
Oh yeah.
That's downtown. So that's
where
it was
in the
down.
Liner notes, you're
yeah,
double
right
checking
here.
All this.
Okay. And as you're checking my story, make sure it's everything checks out there.
And it was mastered by Jean Carvalho.
Joe Carvalho. Yeah. Yeah, that's actually, it's a mastering studio down in Toronto. It's a pretty wicked room. Apparently, it's one of the most, it was like the three or four most acoustically perfect rooms in North America or something like that.
Oh,
something
wow.
crazy like that. Yeah, it was a pretty wild room to be
Is
in.
Is that an audiophile magazine?
It's a monthly publication.
Audiophile Quarterly. According to Audiophile Quarterly, that sounds pretty cool.
Yeah. So people can right now, I believe you can preview the song that we just played.
Oh my gosh.
Thought I heard
you say. Did you read these liner notes?
On Bandcamp. No, why?
He thanks the Mono a Mono show in the liner notes.
Wow.
There you go.
Wow. I feel so honored.
You guys, that's why I came to the show for the Ontario
Jeez.
Debut here.
Look at that.
Also, I wanted to get the Mono a Mono bump.
Right. Yeah.
Well, you put that on there, it just automatically sales skyrocket.
Skyrocket into the tens.
We're going to be in double digits any second.
No, and I don't mean that your album would sell. I just mean the bump is worth.
The bump is worth, yeah.
Is worth a bump into the tens.
Now, do you have a particular track? So we, obviously the single is usually chosen because you feel that's the strongest push. But is there another track that kind of, I don't know, rings as like a favorite for you on this?
What's going to be the follow-up single?
They're like children. You obviously have a favorite, but you just can't tell anyone. That's kind of how I look at it.
And you beat them behind the scenes.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. And Child Welfare is being dispatched to your house as we speak. They're all kind of different. Well, after we recorded, I realized that they're kind of all, each one's kind of like a different influence I can hear in it. Not that I meant to do it. But there's one, No Foolin', which is track 4, was kind of interesting. I don't know if you guys remember a band called the Groove Daddies. You remember the band called the Groove Daddies for Kitchener Band?
No.
Really wicked funk trio that I used to love, but I never really like learned any of their songs, but I just really liked it. And after recorded this, a while after, a friend of mine said, this is a Groove Daddies tune. And I realized, oh my God, it totally is. But so that's kind of something's way different than I would normally do, but it isn't literally a Groove Daddies tune. I'm not going to get sued for it. But it's just...
You totally ripped them
off.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. This song is called Oh Canada. It's about... basically, I was thinking about what it would be like to stand on guard. I was feeling true patriot love at the time I wrote it. No Foolin's a pretty cool one that is a really odd riff and a lot of dissonant notes, kind of weird funky notes. So I like to play.
You also mentioned that Twang Strut is a song that you wrote when you were 16 years old. So is this, are all the songs like an amalgamation of songs that you've laid down over the course of...
Most of these I kind of wrote in the last year, so most of them are kind of fairly recent. So otherwise it would take me like another 20 years to put out my second album. Probably like, be patient, people.
No, I was giving... didn't you get that? I was giving you like... So you wrote Twang Strut when you were 16. Yeah, I imagine you wrote the rest in the next 3 years.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I was going with that.
No, I've written most of these very recently. So, well, kind of within the last year or whatever. So.
Cool.
Yeah.
Now, you've got a whole bunch of shows lined up from the website. You play like all the time. How does that fit in? And you're playing so fast. Like, do you need to practice constantly?
Hurt? No, I mean, if you play a lot of gigs frequently, you kind of stay fresh. I find like I like to practice every day, but playing or not. But I find that if you play like say 2 or 3 gigs in a row, like night after night, by the third one, like you're really, really, things are just kind of loose and things really flow. Yeah, things flow. Although sometimes you start getting blisters and various other things that have.
Keep the fire extinguisher nearby.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Just in case the finger starts smoking.
Exactly. I usually...
It's happened to me a lot.
You got it, yeah.
I cover myself with kind of a flame retardant gel, actually, head to toe. Laundry is... My laundry bill is very expensive.
That sheen.
Yeah, that's why I'm so shiny when you see me playing. I've covered myself with a... It's kind of... It's also an analgesic gel, so that I don't really feel anything. Yeah, I don't feel pain when I'm up there. So...
So, ladies and gentlemen, if you are going to be coming to Cork Hall on Saturday, May 13th, be sure to bring plenty of sharp objects because Gary won't feel them.
That's right.
If you launch them at him.
But be aware that if you do shake my hand, you'll come back with a sticky gel, one way or the other.
I, for one, am looking forward to that.
That's the only reason you're coming.
That's pretty much why.
Yeah.
And so I can slow dance with DJ Plan B again.
That's right. Yeah, it's going to be like a mano a mano reunion.
Oh, yeah.
There's
going to be all sorts of mano a mano DJs,
alumni,
past and present, in attendance. The Lady That's Fox right. is coming.
You guys are kind of, I think of you as star makers.
Right? Yes, I can remember when we, back in the day, when we interviewed a young... Thumb Yorke. Thumb Yorke.
Okay.
Perhaps you're familiar with them. Frontman of the band Radiohead.
Okay.
So this is before those days, but yeah. And then he skyrocketed from there.
Because of
the interview, sure, likely. Yeah. Do you remember that?
I'm not... Yeah. Yeah, I think so.
It was back after our greatest hits of the 80s show.
I think the interview was so dramatic to him that it infused his music with this melancholy after that. That really kind of became marketable.
I don't know,
man.
There's been many.
Mm-hmm.
That's one I don't know. Yeah. All right, why don't
we play some more music?
Yeah, let's jump into more of this one. We were talking about track number four.
And I've already got it queued up in this.
That's why you're the pro.
All right.
I know.
Pre-queued.
Consummate.
So we're talking here with Gary Kane Band, Twangadelic Blues of Funk. That's right. It's coming out May 13th. It's going to be available at the show. We've already heard Thought I Heard You Say and Twang Strut. We're no fooling. We're jumping right into it.
And I believe, Gary, if they go to www.garykaneband.com, they can pre-order the album, which will give them a digital release.
That's right.
Right off the hop.
So you get one tune, the first single, you get to download that one right away, and then you get the rest of it as soon as it's released. And it's actually coming out on the 12th, the day before the release
before
party.
The
and
show.
Then, yeah, and then the 13th is when the release party is at Cork Hall.
Fantastic. And that you can go to, as I said, the GaryKadePan.com to pre-order the album. And I assume after the show they could just order the album.
You could post-order
it. You can post-order
it.
Well,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. We will continue to sell the album.
Present order it.
Yes, at the exact moment that it's released, but that's
correct.
Very difficult to time. But yeah, we won't stop selling it as soon as it's out. We some people have tried that technique, and it's really they found that sales really suffer.
Yeah,
to just discontinue sales once the album's released.
But then, like,
not a good technique. No,
the hype builds though, and then the demand.
That's true.
You build demand,
yeah.
and then you do a re-release after that, and then
a re-pre-release.
Yeah, nice.
followed by a post-release
and a reprise of the re-pre-release, which is
there we go.
That's where the profits kick in. It's complex.
It is
what we're saying.
Yes, it's a complex structure. Mono Amigos, you probably won't understand it. Go to email info@garykaneband.com if you want the breakdown of this financial structure.
Just make sure that your email accepts attachments larger than 10 megabytes, because the flowchart is, I mean, it's a huge PDF.
It's
multiple pages. There's rich media involved.
Rich text formats.
Yes. There's an RSS feed. I don't even know what that is, but trust me, there's one. At least one. The RSS feed has its own RSS feed. All right?
Wow.
We're not kidding around here.
No, we're not fooling.
Yeah, there's
and
no fooling.
We're
going
to go into no fooling here on 102.7 Radio Waterloo.
We'll be right back.
All right, there you have it. That was No Foolin' by the Gary Kane Band here on 100.3 Sound FM. That just rolled off. I'm so sorry.
No,
not 100.3.
Old habits die hard.
No, you're supposed to say Sound of the Community.
Sound of the Community, 102.7. In your ear, crew.
Radio Waloo.
Radio Waloo.
And we've been talking here with Gary Kane from the band Gary Kane Band.
You don't say.
Yeah, that's right. And we want to pump up the CD release. Although the CD's coming out the day before, you'll be able to get it, right there.
Pump it up. You'll pump.
May 13th at Cork Hall.
That's right. That's just right next to McCabe's.
Downtown Kitchener. That's right, yeah.
Yeah, on King Street and some side street.
That's right.
I don't know what side street that is.
Just Google it. People can find it, right?
Yeah. Yeah, just Google these things.
We can't hold your hand through the entire process here.
No.
I'm not going to tell you what to wear. I'm not here to run your life. I'm not your mother.
No, not until you walk through the doors. Then he'll tell you what to do.
Exactly. Yeah. Then I'll criticize the choices you've made.
And reverse heckle you.
Yes. It's one of the features of our show is we actually heckle the audience.
It's actually a audience engagement piece. It's actually... And art, it's art.
It is,
it's
yes,
an
it
art
is
experience.
Art, quote unquote. I'm doing air quotes, viewers at home, listeners at home.
Well, they can hear them. And I apologize for that long pause, but it's been a while since I've been here. My brain's not what it used to be.
Mm-hmm. You've gotten soft.
Mm.
That's right. After, I need to get after a Lake Wilcox right there.
Especially what? Oh, yeah. After,
yeah.
The Lake Wilcox Mad Quacker. Who, if you want to sponsor the Mono e Mono show, contact us at Mono e Mono Radio at Sound FM.
And what's this that I've been drinking here? This is the Steamworks? Is that the brewery or what?
I think so.
Who makes it? I don't even know. Oh, so yeah, Steamworks Brewing Company, Vancouver.
There you go.
Yeah.
Cool. I've been drinking an interesting one over here, too. Pabst Blue Ribbon.
Pabst
Blue Ribbon. Yeah, that's right.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
I've heard of I've had the Green Ribbon before. But the Blue Ribbon is like a step up.
Something new, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Is it like they grade ski hills, like difficulty-wise? Is like the blue kind of like you're good at it, but you didn't, you know.
It could
the
be
bunnies,
this one is titled...
Black Diamonds.
Subtitled well, Blue Ribbon is Strong Beer, yeah.
Blue Ribbon is like the winner, right? Red Ribbon is the second place.
Oh, right,
I believe Yellow is third.
Okay, so what has this beer won is the question, really. Our hearts, maybe?
Yeah, the hearts of the American people.
Things just got a little real.
That did.
They got really real.
Got really real, really fast. Now,
DJ Steele is on the verge of tears. We better steer it away from the Blue Ribbon beer.
I had one more question related to the Blue Ribbon beer, though.
Oh,
what's that?
Gary, do you know if they are going to be serving Pabst Blue Ribbon on Saturday at Cork Hall?
That I don't know. Now, we're not... It's
you'll
not
have to show up to find out.
It's not a monster truck rally, so I'm assuming maybe not. I don't know.
Saturday! Monster truck rally at the Gary Canbin CD release party. Where you'll see four stories of car crushing power and truckosaurus.
We gotta hire you to introduce the show, I think, so we gotta do.
He already does. Oh, introduce your show.
Yeah,
I can do that.
The night of.
I can do that.
Okay. You're going to come up and do the intro?
I'll do like a slow jog on stage and be like, hey, everybody, thanks for coming out. You may know me as DJ Adrock from the community radio station, Sound FM 102.7, Radio Waterloo.
Sound FM at all.
Oh, wow. Not at all.
No, don't introduce the show that way.
You know what? You know when you go to a festival and they're like, they have those radio
to go on way too long.
Know who they are.
You don't want to hear anything from them, and they have to go on forever. Yeah.
They're all giggly and stuff. Anywho, so Saturday, May 13th, Gary Kane Band CD release party. The album is called Twangadelic Blues-a-Funk.
That's right.
Come one, come all. What time do doors open?
Doors open at 8 p.m.
8 p.m. So get there at 7.
Okay.
Have something to eat at McCabe's, then go over to Cork Hall.
Form a line about
don't eat beans.
4 a.m. the day before.
That's a good idea.
Yeah. You don't want to be... Bring a tent if you need to.
Pitch a tent, too, if you need to. Just in case.
Hello.
Yeah. We want to raise some, you know, awareness about this. This show. And that's the kind of PR he wants.
I'm not sure where you're going with that.
Neither do I. Back. That's the beauty of this. I get to talk and
yeah.
It doesn't matter if I make sense.
Make got genital a puns. Yeah.
As many as I can fit into
a
show,
they're
Gary.
The best kind.
I expect those on Saturday as well.
All right, no problem.
Genital puns.
Genital puns.
Gentle genital puns.
Mm.
Saturday, May 13th, Cork Hall, 8 p.m., Gary Kane Band, Twangadelic Blues of Funk. Be there, another genital pun, or get squared.
Nice.
Did I say that right?
You brought it home.
Yeah, that was great.
Okay, so we're going to go out on track 7, I believe you said?
No, 2, I thought.
Oh, 2, right.
Oh,
I got 2 queued up.
Pipes and Spoons, this one's called.
So Pipes and Spoons. Well, Gary, thanks for taking the time out of your busy Sunday evening.
Thank you for having me. Always a good time.
Yeah, we love having you.
I'll have to start releasing albums more often so I can pop in here and spend the night with you guys. Well, not spend the night. Sure. I don't know. Unless, do you guys do that here? Or?
Yeah, we cuddle in the dark a little bit.
I'm willing to do whatever it takes to get community radio coverage. I'm just putting that out there. I really want to be on this radio show.
That makes you the fourth best guitar player in the world.
That's right. I don't want to know what the top three have done.
No.
For you guys.
Dirty stuff. You don't want to know. It involved a 9-iron, a bucket of ice cubes, and a bison.
Hmm.
All right, so here we go. This is Pipes and Spoons, I believe you called it.
It is.
From the Gary Kane Band here on 102.7 Radio Waterloo.
Yeah! spoons and kerosene.